Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Today on the podcast, I have a good friend of mine from California, James Burke. James, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Ella. It's good to see you again. As always, it's always a gift to be with you.
We always have the best conversations, and I had James come and speak to my students when I was working at the Conservatory of the Arts, and you did a great 90s Backstreet Boys dance. Is that what we got you to do? We got you.
I am so glad. Out of the two-hour conversation and talk that I had with your students, the number one thing we remember, it was not Backstreet Boys. It was the NSYNC story, not the NSYNC, but the NSYNC story of my childhood youth. Yes, that was it. Correct.
Well, you were performing with a you actually came to talk on race, and you have an incredible, like, you are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to talking about diversity and race, and that's why I had you in. But the big memory moment was you getting up and, you know, you're around people that see you, hear you, a lot of people that are from the 90s, you know, millennials.
Oh, yeah. There was a ton of 90s nostalgia in that story, for sure. That was incredible.
Sure. We loved it. Yeah. We loved it. We're like, he missed his calling. He needs to be in a boy band.
Now, don't say that, because that just reinforces my ego and my narrative all the way from middle school, where I literally thought this is what I'm going to do with my life. And we spent so much, now that we're in it, my best friends and I, we would memorize NSYNC stances and perform them at talent shows, at birthday parties, at dances. And it was just like the thing to do. In fact, we would stick the VCR tape in and go to MTV and wait till TRL would come on like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. and wait till the video would come up and hit record. We would just watch that thing on repeat. And it was just a... my friend and I actually entered into choir in ninth grade, because we're like, hey, the next thing we got to work on is singing. You know what I'm saying? So we ended up finding a love and passion for singing, even though, like, neither of us were, like, we were okay. Like, we were good enough, but not good enough to get a record deal. Let's just say that. I'm in my lane. I'm happy where I am. So I'm glad we brought that story up again. It's so good.
Well, guys, today we're not talking about how to build a boy band, although, like, that would be a good podcast to listen to.
That would be. Yeah.
But I'm having James on because he's the co-founder with his wife, Laurie, Leaders Framework. And I'm such a geek when it comes to leadership, how to be a good leader, because I believe we're all leaders and we have different levels of influence. And I really wanted to get James on because he works with executives, Fortune 500 companies, on really injecting health into their culture. And all of us are spending so much of our life in our jobs. And I thought James is the perfect person to really talk into how to feel aligned in your job and how to grow as a leader, how to be in a healthy culture, what to do when you're in a toxic culture. You know, there's so many things. I mean, I coach so many people in their career journey. And so I thought, let's get the expert on today to talk about work, because we spend so much time there. But tell us a little bit about, like, I mean, I've had you on the podcast before. We talked about burnout, the ego, and we'll probably, like, talk about those topics because they're all involved. But I'd love to hear a bit of how Leaders Framework started. And I saw a post that you put out is like, you never dreamed of being an entrepreneur. And now you're an entrepreneur. Yeah. So tell me a bit about that. Tell me the story.
Yeah, 100%. You know, when I grew up as a kid, anytime someone would say, like, you're a leader, or you're this, or you're that, who wants to be the leader? I always shied away from it, not because I didn't love influence and I didn't love impacting people. Leadership just had a connotation of highly responsible, highly authoritative, highly commanding. And it was just never me. You know, we were talking earlier, I'm the youngest of four, and I've got a older brother who I look up to and love dearly and always have. And I always had this mantra kind of growing up of like, I'm okay with number two. Like I just lived by that. I was like, yep, I don't need this. I don't need that. In fact, when I was playing college football, several friends and I were just talking of like coaching one day, and a couple of the guys were like, I would love to be a head coach. And I was like, oh, I don't want that responsibility. I would be a great wide receivers coach, but like a number two or number three or offensive. I was like, I'd be great kind of just like helping, you know, the players hone in their craft and really get to know these people well. But then because I played college football, I was able to extend my education and pursued a master's in organizational leadership back in 2008. And it was there, that was the beginning of my journey of really discovering the leader within and realizing, oh, not only am I called to this, but everything in me has been born and aligned to this direction from the get-go. And it was really kind of demystifying and deconstructing, for a lack of a better term, what we perceive leadership as is. And leadership was kind of fairly newer in the field of study back then, and especially in academia. And so my love for people, my love for teams, and then my love for culture, culture as in world culture, like, like cultures in different ethnic cultures, like all cultures, company cultures, like just groups of people doing things together, like behaviors that consist, like literally, yeah, that's I think Daniel Coyle quotes, culture is just a group of patterned behaviors that are strung together. And so those three things, I really started pursuing that. And I worked in nonprofits, I worked in ministry, helped out small businesses, wore a lot of hats. And it was around 2022 that I had been coaching for quite some time, some leaders. And it was 2021 actually, I was really on the fence of what's next. I was experiencing a shift in my career. I was in ministry for quite some time, and then coaching and doing team consulting on the side. And I just kind of thought that was going to be my life. I kind of thought, hey, this is, you know, I will bring my leadership skills to the ministry workplace. But then I just really started thinking a little and reflecting, working through some tension, also going on my own personal healing journey that, seeing therapy for a multitude of reasons. And it was through that process of processing and reflecting where I realized, if I don't launch my own coaching company, leadership consulting organization, and this took years to come up with, if I don't launch this, I will combust. There were other things that I wanted to do, like open up a coffee shop, open up a business, do this, do that. And it just, anytime I was like, if I don't do this thing, I just feel like I'm going to let myself down. Not to anyone else's expectations, but just to my own expectations. And so it was quite, again, years of processing and reflecting that this is what we needed to launch, and several influential voices that, if we have time, I'll go into how they helped me discover that process or discover that answer. And once we went all in 2022, we just strung all of our experiences together, working with companies, working with organizations, coaching leaders, and really saying, this is the path we want to take. And through that, we've had the fortunate experience of working with large companies, Fortune 500 companies, high-level leaders, C-suite leaders, small businesses, nonprofits. And it really just boils down to this one thing. This is our slogan, but we want to transform the way people lead. And through developing leaders, building healthy teams, and then impacting culture, that's where our hearts come alive. And people are just hungry to be invested in.
Yeah.
Like, people just want to be invested in. And not from a, hey, let's just listen to your stories, but hey, people want to be invested in, and people want to be believed in. and not from this like pat on the back, egoic, hey, you can do anything, but it's actually looking people in the eye saying there's more to you. You were born for greatness and there's something inside of you that you don't see, but we're going to help you discover that so you can launch into the future that you wish existed. So it's those types of things that we get to do for individuals and teams and the company in general and companies in general. And we are thrilled. It has just been a wild journey. We were talking a little bit about it before and we're excited for what the future holds.
Yes, so cool. You hit on so many nuggets there, but I feel the thing, because of the season of life that I'm in as well, is like figuring out what's next after a very like full-on season in America personally. And I think you're hitting on this word called belief. Like, I think that a huge thing in your work, like for anyone to progress or even step into more leadership, there has to be a sense of self-belief. And I can imagine like starting a company, like a lot of us can feel really inspired when someone calls out the gold in us, but then there's the execution of it and you've really executed. Like you're not just like all talk, no action.
Stumbled and execute. Like I'll be really clear. And I appreciate that. The very kind. And our execution looks more like galvanized curiosity, meaning I just made that up. So if it doesn't make sense, I'll explain it and then I'll find a better phrase or better word. But it's this curiosity that's set into motion and action saying, what if we created this? What if we did this? Let's ask these leaders this question. What do you need over here? And curiosity really has been our guide of what do employees need? We have assumptions. We have ideas from our 15-year work experience, 20-year work experience of being with leaders and high-level leaders, but let's see what they need and uncover their stories and then help them realize the greatness inside and then take their teams to the next level. And so we have executed, but it has been this evolution. It's been a process and a journey. I wish I was. And we're going through this right now when we're trying to scale and grow our business. And, there's five of us currently. And then we have had some goals for several years. And now we feel like is the time to enact them and to go after them. But I have explored in the dark and, I have made mistakes and gotten feedback and I think it just is. This is going to sound very metaphorical, but so I want to land it a little bit and give it some tangible actions to it. But it really has just been this stumbling in the dark, and I think curiosity and service win every time. When you're curious and when you want to meet the needs of people, and as Adam Grant talks about being a giver. Like when you're able to give of yourself without having all these expectations and this is what it has to look like, the path just begins to unfold itself before you. So it has been a stumbling journey, but we are enjoying every step of the way.
I love that because I think when you're an entrepreneur or you're stepping out and even just being a leader is a lot of the time you don't know what you're doing and you're kind of... You just have to make decisions. Like that's pretty good. And I've been in leadership a long time as well. And you hear the criticism because like often you're like, you are making a million decisions and you just have to like make a decision as a leader.
Yeah. 100%.
And you're probably really aware of all the flaws inside your decision, but you have to just make a decision. But I love that the focus goes less on like, because I think when you're struggling with self-doubt and lacking belief in yourself, you're so focused on you. But I love that you're saying like focus on service and curiosity because that takes the attention and the focus off you, which I love that.
Yeah. And even to speak to that, when we first launched, we had a 6 leadership training workshops. We took a Fortune 500 company through, and it went really well. But we didn't know what the future was going to hold in our connection with that organization or company. And then we opened our doors and only had a couple of clients. And so there was a couple of months of business crickets, of just a lot of like, hey, we have thunderous applause from our social media followings, but we're not transitioning those into customers or to clients. And oh my gosh, you know, did we make the wrong mistake? Did we do this? So that anxiety is so real. And, you know, Dr. William Bridges has one of the greatest models, and I'm not going to go to it in too much depth, but just about transitions. And he wrote the book called Transitions and how leaders can lead through change. And it just talks about really articulating and getting clarity on what we call what season you're in. The first season is an ending, where you need to declare there's an ending, declare the old is gone, and that you're onto something else. Oftentimes we hold on to what was, and we try to enter into the present, into the future on what worked in the past. And we have to update our frameworks and our mindsets and let go of a lot in order to move forward. So we have to declare endings as leaders. The next part, which is kind of your biggest gray area, which is there's a chart you could look online about it. And this takes up most of the chart. It's called the transition zone or the neutral zone. This is that, like you said, that liminal space of I'm in a limbo. Like I don't know what is next, but I know the end is gone. Oftentimes in those transition periods, we look for certainty when we're actually wanting clarity. Certainty says, I know X, Y, Z. Here are the goals I want to achieve in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and I need to do this, 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 this. Some people are built like that. That's not us. Like in most of the leaders we work with, we have vision and we have strategic implementation, but how to get there, it takes time and process and figuring out along the way. So that transition zone can feel like you're in the middle of a storm. And a lot of people will either hunker down or hide or reflect on their past or try and work their way out of it and create something that doesn't help. I love the phrase of teaching leaders how to lead through storms, which is first understand who they are to stay grounded in any present moment, and then to show up for other people. That's how we lead through storms. So you have to name the transition season. It's going to be foggy. It's going to be gray. The things that you used to do may not bring life. Okay, let me just hold that tension and just say, what can be my guide in this season? Okay, curiosity can be a guide in this season. Where do my desires lie? Okay, let that be a guide in this season. So often we want to rush the transition seasons, and the transition seasons, I believe, are the ones that shape us the most. In fact, we're helping a company go through some pretty difficult times, and we're alongside of them. And one of the phrases that a phenomenal leader shared with the group, and he said, former military, incredible man, said, "We should never waste a crisis. Never waste a crisis. Crisis is always an opportunity for growth." So it's kind of this, where can growth and curiosity be in a time of crisis? Where can, in the middle of this transition, where can I find grounding and rediscover things about me that I may not even know yet? There's always an invitation during transition seasons. And, you know, it's never as clear as it is on a graph or on paper. But I think when we simply name those things, it helps bring clarity, not certainty, but clarity to know how we steward those seasons really well. Because once we get to the new beginnings, then and only then can we start strategizing, planning, moving forward, enacting vision. You know, and I'm telling you, we've been in our business for over close to 4 years now. And we are just now getting to that. Oh, we've got some new beginnings. Sure, you could put new beginnings on the plot point, but to me as a entrepreneur and as a business owner, now I'm like, okay, I see it outside of just the service. I see where we're going and I see what we can do. And here's where we want Here's who we need and what we want to do to get there. So, you know, those three little identification points of endings, transitions, and new beginnings can help bring so much clarity to leaders in any step of their journey.
Yeah, that's so helpful. I mean, this is so helpful to me. Thanks. That's so helpful to just give language because it just, I know, like from being a leader, a lot of the time you don't know what you're doing. And if you just explain, we don't know what we're doing, sometimes that even just like squashes the anxiety of people around you.
And okay, here's this, and this is so good. I'm so glad we're talking about this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know who I am.
That's
what we're leaving people with. It's like, you may not, we don't have like, and for this current market, for what we're experiencing in the States with, you know, business and we work with a lot of government contractors. So current administration, like it's a lot of unknown. We don't know, you know, post-COVID.
And a lot of pain.
Post-COVID, a lot of pain. And so we just don't know. So Eric Johnson, you know, former senior pastor at Bethel and senior pastor at Studio Church in Greenville, South Carolina, has one of the most profound quotes. I don't even know if he knows he said this, but it really marked me in 2018. He said this phrase, he said, "Who you are becoming is more important than what you will be doing." Anytime you want to focus on figuring out what your destiny is, always go back to who you are becoming. And so I think that's for leaders every step of the way. Whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's a transition, whenever we have to figure out what is next, we get to rest on who we are and lead from that place. Now, I'm not saying lead from your proclivities and your dysfunctions and your negative aspects. I'm saying wholeheartedly make decisions from who you know you are, like what you're good at, what you're not good at, your blind spots, your triggers, that self-awareness, bringing that into the picture, resting on that to make good decisions is how you lead forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned grounding. How do you, and I think the identity piece would be a huge part of grounding, but how do you personally ground when you're faced with the uncertainty to get to that place of clarity?
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of people. First of all, my wife, who's also the co-founder of the Leaders Framework. She is the grounded one. we have our own podcast called The Grounded Idealist. I'm the idealist. She's the grounded one. And she always wants to pull us to current reality. And it's going to be, not only is it going to be okay, but it's like, hey, that's not that big a deal. Like type of a thing.
Yeah.
So she's incredible. She has helped me integrate into my authentic self since being with her for over 11 years. And that where before I would perform, people please, and I still like I'd like to perform and I like to make people happy, but it comes from a different source. So, and it's a constant journey, but she has been the number one instigator, challenger, and safe place for me in that area. Mm. So, huge shout out to her and huge shout out to my community who's been with me every step of the way, and then my therapist who's just absolutely incredible. So I think it's those things that have just been, they have helped me refine and learn what it means to be grounded. And I think, now that we teach that and we talk a lot about emotional regulation, which is it is kind of a buzzword, and I'm glad it's a buzzword, but it seems a lot simpler than it is. And I think the point of it isn't to always be in a state of calm, but to be heightened when it's time to be heightened, but then come back down when it's time to come back down. The ability to ride the waves of your emotions, not just be, and I'm okay with stoicism to a degree, but I think having no emotions is not the goal. but to ride the waves of emotion. So when times are tough, oftentimes if I first feel it, my proclivity and my tendency is to spiral mentally, is to, like 3 years ago when we didn't have any clients knocking on our doors, I was spiraling. I was anxious. I was disconnected. This summer, we hit some pretty big financial crises with some of our current clients, and we just weren't sure. It's like, hey, it's not the business. It's just as the landscape. And it was like, okay, how do we navigate through this? But rather than I made mistakes. So rather than actually grounding, doing investigatory work of searching, how am I? What do I need? Okay, let's start from that place. I gave in to the anxieties really quickly and just tried to problem solve. I tried to distract. I was disassociating slowly. So now that this therapy session is open, all of the junk's on the table. It was a and then it was my wife Lori who kind of called me out. Was like, hey, I know you're here, but you're not here, and I feel it. Our kids are feeling it. Like you're putting in the time, but your presence is missed.
Yeah,
and that was a hard pill to swallow, and it was it took that. And it still takes that, okay, who I'm becoming matters more than what I'm doing. So what can I learn through this process? And how can I keep growing myself and growing the people around me? And when I say staying grounded, it's I'm not going to sacrifice myself at the needs of others. I'm not going to sacrifice what I feel called to at what the market conditions are.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to have grit. Yes, we have good work ethic. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying staying true to the missional focus and what we feel called to. That's how we stay grounded. So
that's so good because I think we're letting go of like perfectionism where you have to be grounded all the time. Like, it's actually because every time there's promotion or like even good promotion or you have to having a business is like you're fighting that it's not consistent all the time. And we are humans that need security and stability. So, you know, like I think what you're saying and being grounded is like you've really crafted out your home base, like how to get back to home when you're disoriented, when you're
so good,
when you're, you know, how do you orient back to? And I think a lot of people, especially in the workplace, don't have practices or don't even have language to find their home base, whether that's in their supported community and their values around their identity. Like, so I love that you, you're navigating it for yourself, but you're also providing it for company cultures and people around you. And so I'd love to hear any testimonies of like, well, obviously like it's confidential. We don't want to go into the weeds of the stories, but what you're noticing, because I know like, cause I'm very passionate about culture as well, but some people may not have the same ideas about what culture should look like. So you can have these people who are like, people matter. And then the people are like, profit matters, but also the in between people that are like, people matter and profit matters. Like, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, being that there's human beings with lots of worldviews coming together, how do you bring your philosophy in that supports so many different people's backgrounds and belief systems? And how do you develop people in that? I'd love to know.
Yeah, great question. Impacting culture can be such a, loose metaphor or such like a, what does that even mean? And so I'm really glad we're talking about it because again, culture is a set group of behaviors. And so we really want to get to the behaviors, the identity of the leaders that consist of these groups of people that make companies, make teams, make nation states what it is. And so what we have done, we've really drafted off of the tales of leaders who have gone before us. So I would be a fool not to, you know, mention and that we're not reinventing the wheel. we add our flair to it and we add our own, you know, like differentiation in what we believe matters. But there have been leaders before us that have paved the way, like Pat Lincioni, who is the founder of the Table Group. Highly recommend any of his material, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Working Genius. We do the Working Genius as an assessment tool, but it's probably one of our number one assessments and tools outside of the Enneagram and a couple of other ones that we use as well. But absolute phenomenal leader. And his quote is, the single greatest advantage, or the single greatest competitive advantage to any business or company culture, is teamwork and organizational health. Mm. And the quote is awesome. But what we're seeing now is that the data supports that. The data is telling the story that companies and organizations that value trust, it separates, like you see 106% more energy at work. You see 50% less turnover, 40% less burnout. This I just switched some of those quotes, forgive me, but it comes from Harvard Business Review. There's a lot of data to now support when we create psychologically safe spaces, when we create places for people to thrive at work, and it changes everything. In fact, Google did a longitudinal study where they studied their highest performing teams, and they wanted to know what were the consistent metrics that defined these teams. What were the variables? What were the it factors? And there was a lot of hypotheses out there. There was a lot of, hey, they're going to be from Ivy League schools. Hey, they're going to have all a certain IQ of this. Hey, they're going to be really technically sound in engineering, or, you know, these skills, They after I don't know how many years, but they concluded the only defining variable that defined high performing teams was those that cultivated psychological safety. The highest performing teams cultivated a place where people could feel free to disagree, where people could share their opinion without being afraid of being fired, where they were encouraging dissent and encouraging critical thinking, where they were experiencing, we want diversity of thought and we want people to challenge the status quo, or else we're just going to be a bunch of homogenous thinkers and we're just going to be in an echo chamber of our own results, and then ultimately we'll spin out and do something we don't want to do. So Google supports this. That's what I'm saying. The data is now supporting it. And we come in and say, yes, we will help. And what we're seeing is people saying, like, we want these environments where work-life balance matters. We want these environments where, you know, dollars and cents are supported for personal growth and development, for leadership growth and development. Those to me are the, you know what I'm saying? If you want good results, you invest in your people. It's just what it comes down to. People, extrinsic rewards, time and time again, we see the research is out and it's clear. You will get short-term results with extrinsic rewards. So bonuses, raises, promotions, attaboys, like attagirls, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you're doing a good job. Those matter. Let's not get it twisted. We've come from the ministry world. Like we know when those aren't in and people aren't taken care of, and you know, that's not to speak of the organization we've worked for or other organizations. Just in ministry, it's not as higher of a priority as it is in other workspaces. So, and it should be. It definitely should be. 100%. So, extrinsic rewards matter, but you get short-term results. If you want long-term results, we have to teach people, help them find their purpose, help them discover what matters most. What are their goals? How does your job fuel the long-term success that you are building for your life? And I don't believe that everyone should have a job that they love all the time. That's not real. And I don't think all of us are going to be living in a job that where we find so much happiness in everything that we do. We need hard jobs to be done. Yeah. But I think when we find the purpose of doing those jobs and being there for other people and helping teach life skills, people skills, that ultimately affects the bottom line and the results that we get. And so people are worth investing in. And what we really like to separate in, you know, out of all these consultants and everything that teams and leaders have done, we believe that the greatest way to help differentiate the market is invest in developing leaders at their core. So when leaders discover who they are, when they discover their authentic selves, everything else changes. Like drive changes, vision changes, collaboration changes. Like it's, I've seen it time and time again. I've worked with high level leaders, SVPs, CEOs. When they rediscover who they are, a new passion is lit for them to lead their teams and their companies to an exponential level. So when we hone in on the identity piece, it really takes teams and organizations to the next level. To really round the bases and kind of answer your culture question one last way, you can feel a culture where people aren't invested in. You can feel toxic workplaces. And if you're in one of those, to the audience, I have a ton of compassion and empathy. Sometimes we have to grind it out and figure a way to make it. Like sometimes that's just what it takes. We've got mouths to feed. We've got bills to pay. But pay attention that in those environments, if you are sacrificing your core values, your character, if you are sacrificing the confines of who you feel called to be, those are when we have to start paying attention to saying, hey, if I can't have an impact on this culture and yet I'm being burnt out and it's at the cost of my family, my friends, I have to rethink this, because sometimes it's great when we can help impact and change systems. Sometimes systems can't be changed, at least not with one person, and it takes time. So I think that's just an addition, that there are some work environments that are just unhealthy. And and I'm not talking about you have a disagreement with your boss. I'm talking about insidious behavior and things that actually hurt people. And I said I was going to end with that, but I'll actually end with this when we're talking about culture. One of the greatest frameworks is Pat Lencioni's 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, that the foundation of every healthy team is trust. And then when you move to trust, then you build what we call psychological safety, vulnerability-based trust. Then you move to healthy conflict. When teams can have healthy conflict, then you can come around and commit to these ideas rather than just like giving lip service. And then you have people who keep each other accountable. And then when people are held accountable by giving feedback, healthy feedback, then you can get the results that you want. If people are just going for results and don't take care of the other 4 principles, it'd be in an endless cycle of turning over in leadership, turning over in products, and they just won't get to where they want to go.
So good. This is so helpful. There's so many nuggets from today's conversation, and I'm aware that your kids are probably going to come through the door in any moment.
Yeah, we can go a little bit later. If they pop in, they pop in. It's a part
They pop in. So. I love it.
Yeah, that's fun.
Well, we're pretty chill here on the Next Brave Thing podcast. But I think my closing question is, I'm thinking about, there's so many gut nuggets from today's conversation, like knowing your season, identity, purpose, seeking clarity over certainty. There's so many good things that you're talking about in today's conversation. And I think I'm thinking of the person that may be listening, and a lot of people are in misaligned careers. And because a lot of people are really like, they need to put food on the table. They're in survival mode in a sense. And I know that life where you're like, I think we grew up as millennials, so we kind of had this, you can do anything, quit your job and follow your dream and your passion. And then you do that and you realize, actually, security, we need that too. So like, totally. There's this tension of like, you kind of sometimes have to stay in the sucky job that you don't love. But how do you find purpose? But my question is like, for someone who's like, you coach so many people in identity, and that sounds like your starting place. What are some things that, if someone is in that burnt out survival mode, I don't have a choice, I don't have autonomy in this situation, I have to stay at this job. What are some kind of coachy questions that would, or advice that you would give to someone in that space?
Yeah. I'll even say this, burnout is an epidemic. Like we're seeing it across the world. Post-COVID, it's been pretty gnarly, and we said this, that There is no certainty. What we used to have an illusion of certainty. Now the illusion is at least gone because we, you know, with the next 1 year, with 2 years, 3 years, we don't have certainty, but we can still have stability and we can still have inner clarity. And that is the real place where we find stability in the first place. So, so I just want to say it's a real epidemic and people are, we need to give people the tools and access to support and time and to find who they are along the process. So it's a real need. And if someone is listening and is going through that, I have the utmost empathy and compassion for that journey and that process. I've experienced it. Ella, I know if you've experienced mm-hmm. it. And it's no fun waking up and feeling disconnected from what you're going to do today or what your future holds. Those are pretty difficult moments. So I think to use your terminology, find what can get you back to home base. I love that. I'm going to steal it even for the use of this podcast, but mm-hmm. if you can't control your circumstances at work, what can you control? We used to say that all the time as athletes, it's control what you can control. When you focus on the here and now, when you focus on the present, what can I do to, what I would say is what can you do to bring life again? And I would also say, where do you need real self-care? Not just another vacation, not just another pat on the back. I forgot the psychiatrist's name, but it was a psychiatrist has four principles of self-care and we teach on these. The first one of a leader taking care of themselves is identifying your core values. So again, that's the light of knowing who you are and what you stand for. It's really important. The next part is practicing radical self-compassion. This is the hard one. You may be at a job that's at a dead-end job or at a place that it's just tough. I don't know. A lot of times, high-level leaders and leaders deal with imposter syndrome or they deal with just highly self-critical. How did I get here? What am I doing? What is my life? And especially with social media, we're in this comparison game when comparison is the robber of joy. And we're like, oh, so it's this spiral of narratives that say you should be further along, you should be somewhere else, you shouldn't be here. And to silence those voices saying, I actually need radical self-compassion in this season. I need to be really kind to myself. So what does it look like for you to be kind to yourself? The next one is boundaries. What are the boundaries you may need to put up at work? Like what are the things you may need to put up with people that aren't supporting you in this season? And boundaries are never meant. Boundaries get a bad rap because they end up being walls that keep people out. That's not the intent of boundaries. Boundaries are meant to be these posts that actually help maintain and recover the energy from within. And that's what it is. So if you're in a season of burnout and you need help, do whatever it takes to find your energy again. Go on walks, exercise, sleep well, all those things. I'm a big believer in the physical proponents of self-care, but those boundaries are vital and necessary. And finally, the last one, which can be really hard, but it's exercising power, meaning we actually have more autonomy than we realize. Mm-hmm. And I am as guilty, Ella, as anyone. I will paint these black and white ultimatums of, well, if it's not this or this, or, oh my gosh, we're going to lose this. And again, I'm so grateful I have someone like Lori who grounds me back. We're like, we have so much more opportunity. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But exercising power is, okay, where do I have power? If I'm stuck at this job, well, if I want to live for my core values, be really kind to myself, create boundaries, how can I dream of a life and see what I am really good at? So maybe while I'm working at McDonald's, flipping burgers, which there's nothing wrong with that. My dad was in the ministry his whole life. He would say, even if I was flipping burgers at McDonald's, I would still find purpose. And that stuck with me as a kid. I really appreciate that. He lived that out. He's an absolute hero of mine.
Yeah.
And so for us, even if we are in these seasons of transition or, okay, how do we, you know, find where we can find power, not as an egoic expression to get out of these things that we can't control and not out of a disassociative behavior where we can escape pain, but it's saying in the midst of the pain, how do we lean into this and discover what there needs to be discovered about myself, my purpose, who I am, and allow that to be my anchor. So if I'm, you know, working in sales and I hate sales, but I'm making, you know, it's making ends meet. Well, what do you love about sales? Well, I love people. Okay, there's a value of yours. Tap into that. And what else can you do that works with people? Oh, I could be, you know, I could be a teacher. Go be a freaking teacher. Like, we need good teachers. It's like, but they're not, it's like, no. Like, stop playing the game of the world doesn't like this or this or that. Like, get back to who you are, what you're good at, what your weaknesses are. Start from that place and then have the courage. You know, courage isn't, there's no fear. It's facing fears and saying, I'm going to take a risk. You don't have to bet everything, but at least taking risks on yourself and betting on yourself, that's what matters most. And that's how you can exercise power.
Yes. So
look at that.
Good.
Right on time.
Right on cue.
Hey, LJ.
Hi, buddy.
Say hi. Rowan could come in too. There's Lori too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just those four principles of self-care are absolutely vital. And how we exercise power in every season is what helps. Okay. If I'm burnt out, how do I recover my soul? Like, that's a huge part. Well, and those are the inner confines of every human being. How do I recover my soul? I need some soul rest. I need some soul care. I need to, you know, take care of what matters most. Focus on my relationships. Focus on who I'm becoming. And then, okay, let's in this season of transition or difficulty, how do I find power and make good choices that actually lead me to where I'm destined to be?
Yeah. That's so good. I know for me, if I've been in survival mode in a work culture situation, some of it, not all of it, maybe 30, maybe 40, maybe 50% of it has been because I'm a people pleaser. And and it's like, oh, I'm exhausting myself because I am showing up this way. So I love that boundaries is one of them because, once you kind of start looking at, let's clean up my own side of the street of like, how am I perpetuating this exhaustion?
So and good.
But the self-compassion piece is important too because we don't want to go into like, I'm the worst, I'm causing this. But
Yeah, those, and I love how you said that. Those two together is a sober perspective of I need to be really kind to myself, but I also have to take some ownership of where I've allowed, you know, not just people in, but energy out. And I need to really, really, I was addicted for a season of checking my email 10 times a day and just like, okay, what do people need? Oh, I'm ready at any time. And it was keeping my nervous system stuck in this, you know, hypervigilant state that I was just like, I'm sleeping okay, but I'm the tabs in my brain are 1,000 at one time and staying in this isn't helping. And I'm like, if someone wants me, they can call me and then I can figure out if I can help them or not. You know what I'm saying? It was just it was a self-perpetuating cycle. So I fully resonate with that.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, it's been so fun having you on the podcast today. Thanks so much,
Ella.
For coming on.
It's always a gift.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see how, especially in today, it's exciting that I think our culture is ready for what you bring. Like there's such a, even research is showing it and I'm very excited to see, more healthy leaders come from, what you're doing with people. It's awesome. So thank you so much for coming on. We'll definitely throw all your links in the description to follow you on Instagram and check out your website. Thanks so much for coming on.
Awesome. Ella, it's always a gift. Always a gift being with you. I love collaborating with you and excited for your season. And any way we could champion you, partner with you is always a gift. So we appreciate you. Thanks for your time as well.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.